Please be seated. May I first say a Merry Christmas and a Happy Sabbath. I am very happy to be here with you all this morning. I hope that you all are happy. How are you doing? God is good. Fine. Thank you. I'm doing very much blessed and highly favored. I want to thank God for His grace and His mercies. Earlier on, someone said, when the elder prayed, he said, God has brought us through 52 Sabbath. And that's something good. That's something great and marvelous. And today, as He had allows me to be here to share with you all on the topic, the cohesion of service. I invite us to bow our heads as we pray. Father, use me again. Let your will be done. And allow at least one person to be blessed by your words. In Jesus' name, amen. In the year 2011, I remember one Sabbath afternoon while I went visiting to another church that wasn't my home church. And during lunchtime, while we were entering the auditorium to go and have our meals, I saw a young lady standing outside looking in. She was by herself. She looked as she was not in her rightful place. She looked lost. And so I walked up to her and I greeted her and asked her why she was standing outside by herself looking in like she had no help, no one to assist her. I invited her on the inside, and together we sat with some other friends. We had lunch, and I invited her to come back in the evening for the AY program. And so I was about to embark on a crusade, an evangelistic series in the upcoming summer of the same year. I met her in April, of that same year, and I was about to enter into a series. And I invited her to come and work with me as a team. So, we ventured together. We started the crusade together. We worked together as a unit. And at the end of 4 weeks, 8 souls got saved. Saints of God, the theme for this quarter, for this last Sabbath of the year 2015, is Saved to Serve. The topic of today's sermon is the cohesion of service. Now, the passage that was so ably read by our sisters came to us from the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, and it comes to us from chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, he which are spiritual restores such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself lest thou be tempted." Verse 2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so you fulfill the law of Christ." And verse 3 says, "For if a man think himself to be something which he is nothing, he deceives himself." Saints of God, leading up to this passage in Galatians chapter 6, among the main concerns Paul was addressing in Galatian church, one problem of selfishness. What did I say, saints? Selfishness. And with that, Paul wanted them, the church, to escape the mentality of self-service and experience the reward of serving one another. The cohesion of service. Now, the problem in the church, saints of God, the Galatian church, was tremendously disturbed by false teachers. The word, if you read from verses 1, come right up from chapter 1 up to chapter 6, Paul was addressing that the church has been strongly disturbed by false teachers. So people would have come and caused division in the church, saints. When the church is divided, it is impossible, saints of God, to accomplish the goal. When the church is divided, it is impossible to accomplish the goal that Christ sets for us. Now, the cohesion of service could not be effective when the church is divided. The cohesion of service could not reach the people outside the walls of the church. A broken body and a broken team, a divided team, cannot win the prize. In no means, saints, can a broken team win the prize. Now, for this year, we have been talking about service. The first quarter, we spoke about born to serve. The second quarter, saints, we talk about shaped to serve. The third quarter, we went through the series of risking to serve. And now we are talking about saved to serve. So the church in Galatia have been called to do a service that no one else could have done. We at Tacoma Park Church, saints of God, we are called. We are commissioned. We have a service to provide. But if we are divided, allow me to remind you, if we are divided, in no means can we accomplish the goal that God has for us. One of the most critical aspects of serving, Sister Glenda, is selfless service. In other words, I'm saying serving my fellow brethren for the greater cause and for the fellowship and efficient success of the gospel. That's what Christ wants for us. Now, saints, as we venture into this new year, as we have been implored to serve, it is very critical that we go with the attitude and the team effort, the togetherness, the cohesiveness to achieve whatsoever the goal that God will set before us. Now, it is important for us to understand that the upper room experience that the book of Acts talked about, we do not know exactly what happened, but the Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost did not come until every person in that upper room, saints, was of one accord. Now, today I might not be coming with no epiphany. Nevertheless, allow me to challenge us to go forth with three attitudes. The first attitude that came to mind when I was preparing this sermon, saints of God, was the attitude of having a restoring spirit. The Word of God challenges us, my friends, to see ourselves in the shoes of another person. In the church, the devil will come and attack us. In the church, the enemy wants to kill the saints of God. From the beginning of Acts, through history, the dark ages, Christians have been persecuted. But when we look carefully at history, we will see that when the church is more efficient is when the church is tightly united together. It is important to remember, however, that we all need restoration. That's the whole purpose of the gospel. That's the whole purpose of the word of God. That's the whole purpose of why we are here today. That's the purpose of why God sent somebody to come and tell me I needed restoration. And when I got that restoration, saints, the Spirit of God compelled me to go and tell another person. And when I wasn't strong enough to get up, God sent a friend to come and talk and pray with me so I was able to move together to go and do His will. Oh, saints, in Galatians 1, the Bible challenges us that when you see a brother or a sister at fault, we should reach down and reach out and hold that person's hand together and restore them. What am I talking about? The word here gives the idea of someone, saints, finding himself or herself trapped. Finding themselves going down the hill, falling down. Whether they deliberately or unintentionally did something. What the Bible is saying, when you see somebody trapped in their sinful situation or a saint had fallen, the goal for us is to never allow them to remain in an overtaken state of the enemy. What God wants for us, saints of God, is that when we see a person being overtaken by the struggles and the challenges of this world and of sin, we who are not overtaken are to reach down and help that person, to reinstate that person, to reestablish that person, to bring that person back into a state where they have been restored. They are not to be ignored, as we often do sometimes. When we see a person falling down, we are not just to ignore that person. Neither are we. The Bible is not even telling us to excuse the person. But we are not to destroy the person either. The goal for us saints is to always bring restoration to the person. The Bible tells us that God restores. And when God restores saints of God, it brings us back to the Christmas or the birth of Christ. What am I talking about? When the Bible tells us that Christ was birthed on that Christmas Eve, as the world knows it today, the Bible tells us that a promise was being fulfilled. For the saints has been promised from the prophets that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. The Bible brings a joy to my heart this week when I read in Matthew chapter 1, going from verse 21, the Bible brings a joy in my heart for when the Bible says the shepherds were out in the field by night watching their flock. The Bible says suddenly an angel appeared and they, my friend, were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Be of comfort, because I bring news, and not only do I bring news, but the news
news I bring will give you joy. You will jump and leap and testify for the news I bring. The angel said, over there in Bethlehem, in a manger, a little stable, a virgin is about to give birth, and the birth she will give will be of a son, and the name of that son shall be called Jesus, the Messiah. And what he will do to the world, saints, the angel said, he will bring peace and goodwill to every man on earth. Saints of God, the Bible tells me that those shepherds, they were so overtaken by the gladness that they say, come. Before that, the Bible said, suddenly also, after that angel finished talking, suddenly a multitude appeared behind them, and they started to sing, glory, glory, the Lord God Almighty, for the world has come to see a Savior. The Bible said they got up and they ran over. Togetherness, Christ's birth brought togetherness. The birth of Christ gives the message of restoration. The second point, saints, that came to me from the passage is we should have an accommodating attitude. What am I talking about, saints? It's not just have a restoring attitude, or we should see ourselves in the shoe of another person. But what God wants for us, saints, is for us to be willing to go beyond just seeing ourselves in the shoe of another person. But we should be willing to walk an extra mile in the shoe of that person. Not just to sit and to say, I feel it, but saints, be willing to do whatsoever is necessary. Now, that's exactly what Christ did. And I can testify today, my wife is here, as a living testimony of God's goodness in my life. For saints of God, I can tell you, I was a liar. A sense of God, I've been a cheater. Sense of God, I've broken the promises and the vows that I've took before God. But saints of God, I can tell you, I'm standing here this morning only because of the goodness and mercy that Christ has extended to us. For Christ had walked that extra mile in my shoes. For when I was down and beaten, saints, God didn't turn his back on me. My family didn't turn their back on me. My wife is right here. She didn't turn her back on me. But God extended his love and mercy even through my immediate family. Saints, with a gentle and a loving spirit, an accommodating, a helpful spirit, Christ didn't just restore me. Christ didn't just restore you, saints of God. But he gave us peace. He gave us the assurance that when we die, saints, that's not it for us. He gave us peace and the assurance that when we come together as a unit, a cohesive unit, it will not be the end. For it will give us the power that we need to serve. It will give us the strength that we need to go forward. It will give us a loving and restoring life that he has promised unto us, saints. He gave me not just life, but he gave me life for eternity. The humbling message Christ gave, saints of God, we can find that in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, when the Bible says Christ didn't think it robbery of himself when he took off the glory of heaven and put on sinful carnal nature of man just to walk this earth so you and I could be saved. And saints, when we look closely into the passage, we will see that Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit was a cohesive body working as one to serve mankind.
My friend, what that suggests for me is that when we are gentle with each other, when we are loving with each other, when we are caring with each other, saints, when we see ourselves low, just like another sinner, when we don't see ourselves higher or greater than anyone else, when we look at the other person's fault and we see ourselves even worse off than that person, that suggests, my friends, that gentleness is born of a sense out of our own weakness and proneness to sin. The point, saints of God, is that it's simple. God gave us a simple command. He said, look for the brother. He said, look for the sister who has the burden. And when you see that person, when you see that group of people over there who is burdened down by sin, guilt, and shame, and even by ignorance, it's not for us to scoff our face and mock and talk. But Christ said, we are to go and help that person bear their burden. Let me tell you, it's not that complicated either. It doesn't take much for us to allow God's Spirit to transform us and do His will. And as I come, my friend, to the last point of this message, the last point of this message, saying, the first one is having a restoring attitude. The second one is being accommodating, being helpful and gentle. The last point is to have a humbling attitude. Have a humbling attitude. What that means for me when I read the passage in Galatians, it means that, saints, we are to think of ourselves not too great, not too high to walk the journey that Christ puts before us. Remember, saints, we are talking about the effectiveness of working together. One lesson taught in the parable of the rich young ruler is that we are to see ourselves as low as we can get to serve another person, to give of service, to serve in the capacity that Christ has called us to serve. No task should be too small or too great to do. No sacrifice should be too great for us to give for our sisters and our brothers. What will keep us from fulfilling the promise and the cause that God called us? One thing I know for sure, saints, is an attitude of selfishness. What will cause us to bear another's burden? What will cause us to not to fulfill the law of Christ is an attitude of pride. Pride, saints, which is when anyone thinks of himself to be something when he is nothing. When I think of myself too great to serve, when I think of myself to accomplish, to serve as a deacon, when I think, saints, of myself having a doctorate behind my name and the church is telling me to go and be a deacon, when I see myself as an executive who have owned an accounting degree for 20 years, but the church has never asked me to be the accountant, when I see myself, saints of God, having accomplished so much in life, and yet I'm not recognized by my peers or the church to go and have a big post. But when we are asked to serve in a lowly state, we can't do that. That's not what Christ wants for us, saints of God. The Bible is telling us that we are not to allow pride to get in our way. What pride it does for us, it keeps us from ministering to others. For I'm too big to talk to that person. Oh, he or she, they smell, and I'm clean. I can't mingle with them. Oh, they are not of my clique or my class or my status.
I am not able to go and talk with them. What pride does for us saints, it keeps us to be thinking that we are more important than we actually are. So I deserve more of my own attention and love than others do. That's what pride does for us. Pride also stifles ministries in the church. It stifles one person to minister in the way that God desires that person to minister. Pride myself stifles people and causes people out of pride to also refuse the help that God is sending to them. Now I've seen people who are in need. And I've seen that others will recognize that they have a need. And when someone reaches out, because of pride, the person will refuse to take the help. My God, how the devil have us deceived. But saints of God, the biblical humility that Christ desires for us, what Jesus wants for us, is for us to say, I'm nothing. But you, on the other hand, you are something. What Christ wants for us to work as a cohesive unit is to let the care of others be so much a burden to us that we will do anything to allow that person to make it. And so, saints, as I come to a close this morning, I want us, as we go forward into the new year, I want us to recognize that we do have a service to provide. I want us to recognize, my friends, that the enemy will come and whisper in your ear and try to cause division among us. I want us to recognize that the enemy will try to distract us in any way he can. Yes, we have our goals to meet. Yes, we have school to go to. We have our careers to get going. But my friends, God wants us to see ourselves not greater than our brothers and our sisters. God wants all of us to join together as one cohesive body. Work to accomplish the goal. We are called and saved to serve. And saints of God, I compel somebody this morning. I challenge somebody this morning. That what Christ is saying to us, if we listen carefully, as I close, what Christ is really saying to us, saints of God, I want you, Tacoma Park Church, to be an effective, coherent unit in service for the year 2016. Do what I did, Jesus is saying. Put yourself aside. Put your pride aside. Put your achievements aside. Your status and your status. Your possession and your profession. Put your talents and your ability aside. Lock hand in hand together. Arms in arms together. Put mind to mind and effort to effort. And live creatively, restore, accommodate, and exercise humility to achieve and to elevate the work of the gospel. I praise God this morning. I praise God this morning that when I met my wife, she's seated right over there. I met this woman in the year 2011. And saints of God, over the past 3-4 years, God have been working with us as a unit. God have used us in many places as a unit to bring people to the gospel. And as I join here with the Tacoma Park Church, I want to challenge somebody this morning. Work with your family. Work with your husband. Work with your wives. Think together. See what you can accomplish for the upcoming year. See what goals you can put together. See how you can work with a ministry in the church. See how effective cohesiveness will be for the year 2016 when you allow yourself to serve. Thank you very much.